Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Hey, well, good morning. Welcome to week two of Blessed. We're glad you're here today. If you're visiting Hope Church for the first time, Diane already said it to you, but we are glad you're here, and I'm really glad you're here today. You know, there's nothing like, I've said this a bunch this last few months, but there's nothing like going somewhere and you feel like you don't belong or feel like you don't fit in, but we want to let you know you're welcomed here, and we're glad you're here. And I sent my parents a text yesterday thanking them for raising me. I thought they did a pretty good job. But one of the things that my parents taught us, I was a joke, kind of. You guys aren't warmed up yet. That will hit better in the second service, Chris. I'm confident. but I was thanking them because one of the things that they taught us to do was to, like, we used to have, they would make us, like, greet everybody. If we walked into a room, we'd have to shake hands like 25 people. They didn't care. Do you say hi to so-and-so? 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 I'm like, I don't even know so-and-so. He's like, did you meet your cousin? I'm like, we got 45 cousins. I don't even know if they're all related. But he's like, go meet your cousin. I'm like, that ain't my cousin. There's no way, Dad. He's white. Like, he ain't my cousin, you know? And so he's like, on your mama's side. You know, I don't know. But I was like, yeah, I would go in and meet all these people. And he's like, just go. And I don't know if they felt welcomed by me. I was a little kid. It was from the time I was a little kid, from the time I could talk and walk and move around. They would just make us to do that. And so, I don't know if it made the people feel welcome. But I hope you feel welcome here today. When people visit our church, I try to connect with them and say, hey, man, we hope you feel welcomed here. And so I hope you feel that way. I don't know why, but it seems like a lot of places in our society, people don't feel welcomed. But I feel like church is one of those spaces where you should feel welcome. So hopefully you feel welcome today. And we're really, really glad you're here today. And I love that song, Be Unto Me. There's so much going on at this church. And you're welcome to be a part of all of it. And you're worthy to be a part of all of it. I think sometimes people, I'm reading a book right now called Worthy, but so many people struggle with feeling unworthy. And God thinks that you're worthy enough to die on the cross for your sins. And he's called us to set this stage or make this place, this church, for a place for people to come be a part. And so you just want to know you're worthy, and because God says you're worthy, and you might not be worthy on your own, but because of the gospel, you're worthy. And so I'm just thankful. Pastor Chris kicked off a series last week called Blessed. Or happy or joy are for those. And so we're going to continue that this morning. Before I get into that, if you're in 6th through 12th grade, they invited me to preach tonight in youth group. So show up tonight. If you've never been to our youth group, mom and dad, if you have a 6th through 12th grade, they've never been to our youth group, come and let them be a part of what God is doing. It's fun. I've coached a lot of sports here at the YMCA, but I coached 5 and 6 years old. And it's weird now or 7, 8 years old. And now I see some of the kids in the community, and now I'm inviting them to the youth group, and I invited them to the church way back then, but now I'm inviting them to youth group because now they're middle school kids. When I first met them, they were in elementary, but now they're middle schools. And so last week, one of our the girls I coach, she's now in middle school. She came to Sunday morning, and I was like, you ought to come tonight and be a part of what God is doing here. And so I asked my son, I'm like, hey, did so-and-so come? He's like, yeah, she come. I said, hopefully she liked it. And so if you're in 6th through 12th grade, or if you're a parent of 6th through 12th grade, get your kids to be here. I ask a lot of adults this question, but how many of you guys have ever had mentors? Don't raise your hand, but I've asked them, like, how many of you guys have ever had mentors? And a lot of them, like, no, I didn't. But I would ask the second question or follow-up question, like, wouldn't it have been awesome if you would have had a spiritual mentor? And everybody says yes. And so whatever you wanted, I think probably for you, my parents have given me a lot. I want to give my kids a lot. And if you had a spiritual mentor, then you probably already bring your kids here. But if you didn't have a spiritual mentor, you should bring your kids here and give them everything that you didn't get. You ought to be offering that to your kids. And so all that to say, get them to show up tonight. Hey, I was in small group. I go to a group. I lead a group, but also I sit in a men's group. I drive to downtown Orlando. And I know a lot of you guys, I'm one of those pastors where I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do. And we've set this church up for over 400 times, and or close to 400 times, and I've been at 98% of them against overseers and against my wife's wishes, but I've come to a lot of them. And because I like being here with people, I love people. I really feel like I'm in the, my dad's a landscaper, but my dad used to always say, I didn't really get it back then, but he used to always say, I'm in the people business. And I'm like, Dad, you plant grass. You know what I'm saying? Like, you plant plants. And he's like, no, I'm in the people business. And so my dad really would, my dad would, you know, he was a people person. My mom was, they would teach me that, and I kind of learned that. But I am in this for people. I'm in this for people. I'm in this to populate heaven and to depopulate hell. Like, I am in this for people. I'm in it for the least of these. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he goes, shouldn't we be doing what Jesus is doing? Brand new relationship. I just started hanging out with this guy. He's like, shouldn't we be doing what Jesus was doing? And Jesus was for the people. And I was in a conversation with him and another guy, and they got in a disconnect. They got in a little bit of a disagreement, and I was able to bridge the gap. And I got home that night, and it was a late night, and the guy messaged me, he goes, hey, thanks for being a bridge builder. I just think Jesus was a bridge builder. I think we ought to be building bridges. I think we ought to be loving people, and we ought to be connecting people. I think we ought to be doing that. And so he said, shouldn't we be doing what Jesus was doing? So all that to say, we should be. And I was in the group, maybe a year ago, and I heard, or Mike was my small group leader, community group leader, he taught through the Beatitudes. And I was like, this is awesome. Why is this so good? Like, why is this such a good series? I mean, every week, I was like, oh, I couldn't wait to come back the next week. But I'd already read the Beatitudes. I already preached the Beatitudes. Every week I'd come back and I'm like, oh, I figured out why they were good. They're good because this is what Jesus says. And if it's what Jesus says, it's good, and you ought to follow it. And so that's what I believe about everything. If it's the Bible, we ought to dive into it, and we ought to listen to it, and we ought to tear it apart, and we ought to figure out what it is that God is saying. And so whenever he was teaching, I'm like, oh, this is so good. And I left that group when it ended. Eight weeks was the group was over. And I said to the group, I said, I'm going to preach this. I don't know when, but I'm going to preach it. And so I was like, man, I was really excited. And so it just kind of, God kind of put it in my heart, and it kind of began to ruminate, or began to marinate, and began to build in me. And I don't know about you, but when I talk about something, I want to have a conviction about it. I want it to be like something it's in my bones, or it's almost in my blood, or maybe it's in my DNA. Like, I want to be excited about it. And I feel like the excitement or the belief, hopefully it will transcend a stage and get to you and to get to our community, and we'll actually want to live it out and believe it. And so that's where the Beatitudes was birthed at. Chris said it last week so eloquently, did such a great job, but this was the best sermon ever preached, was the Beatitudes. It's a shame I'm going to try to teach it again. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but here we are. I got the microphone. And he tells us in this passage of scripture, this is what it's like to be blessed. And so I want to open up this introductory thought, and it says that the world's definition of blessed will dehydrate Joe behind. We talked about chasing carrots last week. We talked about chasing carrots for 4 or 5 weeks. But the reality is that, man, if you're going after what the world's offering you, that will leave you dehydrated. That's miserable. I was telling some of my friends yesterday, I'm at the age where I can't drink a bottle of water after 8 p.m. Some of my old people are like, that's my guy. That's my guy. He's catching up with us. Because getting up to go to the bathroom is miserable. I'll fight that. I'm like, I'll be fine. And it happened the other day. I drank a bottle after 8, and I was like, now I go to the bathroom. And I was like, you'll be fine. Go back to sleep. But then at the same time, my nose started running. It was either wipe it on my pillow or go blow my nose. So I did the right thing. I went and blew my nose, you sickos. And I went to the bathroom. I don't know about you. I feel dehydrated tonight. I want to get some water in my system. And I don't know about you, but I want this living word to be inside of me, to hydrate me. And if it's going to hydrate me, we can only do what it says to do. We can only follow this. I can't follow the magazines at the end cap at Publix and the Bible. We travel the world, and we're going to go on another missions trip. I'm leading a team to Honduras. I'm really, really excited about it. It's limited seats only. It's a limited number. And so if you're interested, if you express interest in that, jump in quick, because that one's going to go fast. There's nothing I can do about it, because we're going with our partner, Convoy of Hope. But one of the things that we do when we travel around the world is that we see a couple things. We see a huge need, but most places around the world, they need clean water. Dirty water is the leading cause of death in the world, dirty water. But one of the things that we also see is that people will try to mix the gospel with whatever it is that they believe from their culture. And I'm not so sure that we're any different. We take a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of the gospel, and then we apply some of the things that we like, or like, oh, that sounds good there. Like, there's nothing worse than having a little bit of Jesus and then something else. Because the moment you add the something else, it's diluted. It's not good. And so the world's definition will dehydrate you. We use the phrase hashtag blessed. And here's the tension for me is what I've realized is that we've taken this word blessed, which Jesus says he defines it, and we have attached it to what the world says is good. Does that make sense? It's not blessed. It's good. Or even furthermore, what I'm trying to tease this out in my mind. I was beta testing it on Nelson yesterday. But the Bible says that every good and perfect gift it comes from above. And sometimes when you get a really, really good gift, you'll go hashtag blessed. And it's not really blessed. What it is it's a gift from God. So when you get a promotion, you go blessed. That's what we say. New car, blessed. Got a girlfriend, Pastor West. Finally, the girl responded back to me on the dating app. Hashtag blessed. Oh, God bless me. Surgery went good. Hashtag blessed. We do that. But when you read Psalms, when you read Matthew chapter 5, none of what we're attaching blessings to are in the Bible. But the Bible does is every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. It comes from above. And so, let's look at Matthew 5 for just a quick moment today. And then I want to talk to you about one of them because we're taking each week and we're unpacking each of these each week. Jesus is preaching to the multitudes. There's thousands. And he's dropping these bombs on them. Let me jump right to verse 3. He says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Kristen said, if you missed last week, go back and watch it. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who their spirit is going, I'm empty. Be unto me, God, according to your word. And that's what we're saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's got to be unto God's word. What does it say? What is blessed? If we're going to use the phrase hashtag blessed, or we're going to use blessed, it has to be from this word. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Their spirit's going, you know, I'm poor. Whatever you have for me, God, that's what I need. They're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what you got. I've been to some of y'all's houses. You've been to mine. And we all have a lot. But the kingdom of heaven is so much better than anything you got. And we have access to it on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6 tells us that. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that today. Blessed are the meek. They're going to inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungered and thirst after righteousness. That's something that we should all thirst and hunger after. Because those people, they're the ones that are going to be filled. And blessed are those who are blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I don't know about you. If you don't know what mercy is, then you're probably not merciful. But I spent a lot of my life not being merciful. And I haven't received mercy because I haven't been merciful. There's an attachment to all these things. If you're merciful, you're going to receive mercy. If you're meek, you're going to inherit the kingdom. Blessed are those who are merciful. Blessed are those who are pure in heart because they're going to see God. If your heart ain't pure, you ain't seeing God. And you might see glimpses of them, but who wants to see just a glimpse of God? I don't know about you, but I want to walk by the burning bush and be like, yo, lit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you. There's a song that's out it just came out on Thursday and we've been listening to our house and we slow drip that into our house and I've already wrote a 3-week series around the song, but the reality is I don't know about you, but I want to be like in the moments like Elijah was in, where earthquakes happen and they're still standing, and God be not in the earthquake, when the mighty wind goes flying by, and God be like, no, I'm not in the that wasn't me, but then a whisper comes and God goes, yeah, that was me. That's blessed. Those, if you're filling yourself, you won't be filled because it'll only dehydrate you. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. For those are the real sons of God. If you're not a peacemaker, you're a son of a gun. But if you're a peacemaker, you're a son of God. Am I right? Like, I don't know about you. I was telling somebody yesterday, I want to be a peacemaker. I want to make peace with everybody. I don't want to have any enemies. I want to be a peacemaker. Because peacemakers, that's what sons of God look like. Oh, man, you build bridges? That's a blessing. No, so far, no houses. Chris read it last week, the world's definition of the Beatitudes. So far, no cars, no houses. No loaded out 401ks, 501c, all the things. No, so far, none of that. And you're like, those all sound good. And it's like a little warm up. Because then he goes here, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And that's when we're like, peace. I'm not even interested. So today, it gets better or worse. And then like persecuted, if that wasn't good enough, like blessed are those who are persecuted. And those, when people are gonna say all kinds of evil against you falsely for Jesus' name's sake. And be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. I'm sorry. He says, blessed are those who revile you and persecute you. Verse 10 says, those that persecute you. But then verse 11 says, those who revile you and they persecute you. So let's talk about mourning. That was just the introduction. It was supposed to be quick. I have more notes for this message than we have time for. And so we see mourning throughout Scripture. And what it looks like in the Old Testament is to rip all your clothes off and to put sackcloth on. I don't know about you, but sackcloth doesn't even sound good. And then to go to to set a fire to sacrifice an animal, and then to go take the ashes and to put them on your head. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Jesus is offering us a different kind of mourning. Could you imagine me rolling in? Dinah mentioned to our team this morning, but we've had a heavy week, and it's okay. We're signed up for it, and you've had heavy weeks. But can you imagine? Like, you guys all look so nice, by the way. Everyone here looks nice. There isn't one person here who doesn't look nice. You're welcome. Now, clearly, you look the best. You have orange shoes on. That wins every time. And the orange shirt and the orange undershirt, dude, you look so good today. I get distracted when I preach with people's clothes. But could you imagine if we walked in and are like, those of you guys some of you guys, the only time you use an iron is on Sunday morning, which is not, no hard feelings. But could you imagine next week, Pastor Wes, happy, you know, all the things, caffeine, get another cup of coffee. You know, they cut me off back there. It's really disrespectful, but they're like, how many have you had? I'm like, I'm not judging you. Don't judge me. Could you imagine if next week it's not the shirt, you know, slacks, loafers, sackcloth and ashes? Some of you guys would appreciate that. You'd be like, this is my guy. I would just rather tell you that I'm mourning than to show you all that. And mourning is this weird thing because we're not good at mourning, but we're really good at highlight reels. And highlight reels is the antithesis for mourning. Furthermore, about mourning, a lot of people, when you mourn, then you have to find something to help with the mourning, so you go find out, you cope, we all cope. And so what happens is that what we usually do, when you're not in the kingdom, what you typically do is you go find unhealthy ways to cope. And so you remember all the numbers, statistics, staggering numbers out of COVID, like drinking was up. I mean, drug use was up, depression's up, anxiety is up, worry's up, like everything's up. All the bad things are up. Like church attendance down, all the bad things up. Reading the Bible down, all the bad things up. And the Bible tells us in the kingdom, when you mourn, we should do it differently in the kingdom. But we go up, because what we're looking for is when you mourn, the opposite, the thing to do is to go out and look for comfort. And so we go looking for comfort in all the wrong places. Most people. Now, you could be here and be like, oh, I had a friend of mine, he's like, Pastor Wes, whiskey every night to go to sleep. Well, you find a way to cope. I have a friend of mine who's like, oh, when I go to bed at night, I have to have the TV on. We all find things, right? I got a friend of mine, he's on this orange stool. He likes to go golfing. You know, like, it just feels good that, you know, like. So I got hit with a couple of punches this week. And Friday is my day off, and Dinah comes inside, and she's like, what are you doing? I said, is it weird that I'm watching comedy, but I'm crying? You know, like, I'm like, this is going to make me feel good. This is going to give me, laughing's going to give me comfort. And so one of my sisters, she gets on to me when it's a serious moment, and you guys have all experienced it before. When it's a serious moment, what do? I go to joking. It's one of the ways that I cope. I go to mourning. Now, I've gotten good at mourning, so I'm able to communicate to you today with conviction because I had to get good at it because I realized I was going to lead other people into mourning. And one of the things I've learned about morning is I feel really good when I go, hey, to community, friends, Justin, Eloy. I did this. One of the things I did when I was morning, I go to safe people. And Justin, Eloy, I've been friends with for a decade, so they're safe people for me. So I go to them. And it's funny. They know now. But like, I'll show up with like Starbucks for their kids. They live 35 minutes away. They're like, you just roll them through. We just pass them by on 429 to the turnpike, to 408, to 417, to Curry Ford, to Chickasaw. You just pass them by. You went on the church directory app, got our code out of there, and walked in. Like, how did you get in here? You know, like, you just pass them by. They're like, no, I just drove 45 minutes to mourn. You okay? So I've learned to, you're probably glad that's how I mourn. And you're not like, man, Pastor West is at Crooked Can every night. Like every night you're there, like that's a problem. Me, I'm the problem, it's me. The Bible says, so how do you mourn? And so I would like, I'm not done yet. I still got time. No, don't ban Stacy in your seat. I haven't got to the point yet. I'd like for you to figure out how to mourn, but also what I'd like you to figure out is why you're mourning. Because here's what I have found for me. My parents weren't perfect, and their parents weren't perfect. And so I think they did a heck of a job. It hit me yesterday. I'm driving in my car. I'm like, my parents did a really good job. There's six of us that were all alive. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, they left us at ballparks. Don't get me wrong. Like, where were they? Where were you guys at? They're like, oh, we ran an errand. Like, you know, you forgot me. That's what you did. And I should have been forgotten. I'm the kind of kid that deserves to be forgotten. So what happens is, and that's not a bad thing. They weren't perfect. Their parents weren't perfect. But what happens is that you get, here's what I've noticed about me. This is real time. Is that when you hit 20, you're like, I'm killing it. I've made it. You're doing you, boo. When you're 30, you're like, dang, my parents were kind of screwed up, and so am I. You kind of get that at 30. And then when you turn 40, you either two of options. You're like, dang it, why didn't I heal when I was 30? Or you go, I'm so glad I healed when I was 30. And some of you guys are 20, so you're like, I'm giving you a head start. My parents didn't talk about mental health. I mean, they spanked us. That was our mental health. That was what they did to help our mentality. That's how they helped us, Luann. I think it worked. Parents ask me all the time, like, what's wrong with my kid? I'm like, this isn't mean to you. I'm like, you didn't spank them. I mean, the Bible talks about that. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. And I'm not any better. I'm still trying to figure it out. But we talk about our kids, we didn't really talk about our feelings growing up. And that's not a slam on my parents. We just didn't do it. They were trying to pay the bills for six kids. We were busy. My mom worked, my dad worked. All those things, right? But my kids, we've had conversations with them. Hey, how are you? Are you okay? Hey, this happened. Are you gonna be okay? Are you fine? Hey, I know that hurts. Can I help? Because we want to help them to learn how to mourn. And some of the things that they mourn, because we see why. We know that there are mean people out there. One of the things that my parents taught us to do was to be kind. And I don't know where you're at in the journey, but it would help us out. It'd help our country out if you taught your kid to be kind. Because kids who aren't kind become adults who aren't kind. So they helped us with that. And so, what do you need to mourn? Maybe you're gonna have to go back to go forward. I was talking to some friends of mine last night. I'm not really good at going backwards, but I'm really good at helping people go forward. But if you need to go back, I don't counsel a lot of couples, but sometimes I do. Sometimes every once in a while I do, and I feel like the Spirit said to me, hey, this one's for you. Normally I refer out to counselors because they're really good. They've got their profession is built on going backwards. And mine is all about going forward. You're more than a conqueror to those who are in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm good at that. I'm not great at the backwards stuff, but I'll go into it. But sometimes you got to go, man. You're acting a certain kind of way. Maybe you don't pick up a bad coping mechanism, because maybe yours was like mine. Maybe yours was performance. So what happens, performance is sneaky. I told our trustees, like, you guys would never know if I needed it. You would never know if I needed a sabbatical, because I'm gonna come here and swing for the fence every freaking week, because that's what I believe in doing. And I realize I don't have that because of all things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have that because I saw my parents struggle, and all I've ever seen them do is overcome. So all I know how to do is overcome. All I know how to do is to get back up. I remember when Matt taught me how to ski, and the first time I went to try to ski, they wanted to get me up on one ski, which I'd never seen a black slalom skier. So I'm like, this will be a miracle. That's fair, Jeff. By the way, Jeff and Sharon leave today. I'm sad this week, but they'll come back. He's like, just don't let go. When you feel the water, it sounded so simple. When you feel the water underneath your board, you just stand up. And I've watched Whitney ski all over the world. I'm like, it's easy. You just hold the rope and it pulls you up. Well, I'm on the rope. He hits the gas, Jeff, and the water's just aerodynamic over my head. And then I hear the boat go, ooh. And he goes, hey, if you're drowning, you can let go of the rope. We're all about second chances here at the Rini's Water School. We'll swing back around and get you. I'm like, no, baby, I'm an overcomer. I can do more. You know, I can do all things through Christ. And I'm just like, and eventually I got it. And I'm one of those guys too. My personality is that once I do it once, I've already conquered it. So why would I go back again and see if I can't do it? Like I'm 6 years older now, or I don't know, whenever they learned that, I'm like, things have changed. Laying down hurts. Getting out of the bed hurts. So why would I go try to hold on that rope? My pride. What I've learned to do is I've learned to be a performer. I've learned to perform. And in school, it manifested through comedy. And I would, and then it turned into ruthless jokes. What I would do before you got me, I would get you. And that's how Nelson said to me, you're competitive, aren't you? And I said, honestly, I grew up with 6 siblings. And I think that's just the way you do it. That's the only way I know. And the one guy's like, well, 6 siblings, if you don't compete, you don't eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be able to edge somebody out. And so all I know is, but I got other siblings, they're not trying to compete. They're like, I'll be fine. Some people go into isolation. And that's not part of, you don't see that working in scripture. So 2 thoughts. The world offers us opportunities to numb and escape the pain. That's what the world does. And what I've noticed so far in my limited time of living is that numbing never helps. Because what you want is the pain to go away. So you numb it, and all you've done is numb it. But what happens after you numb it? It comes back. I had a thing that I had to have taken off my leg, and they lit me up with lidocaine all around it to numb it so that they could take out the problem. And some of us have been just putting lidocaine in, but no surgery. Now, I didn't know this, but I'm like low-key allergic to lidocaine. And all it manifests, it makes me nauseous. That's it. I was talking to my son's science teacher this week. Lidocaine and formaldehyde, I can't even say it, formaldehyde, both of those make me nauseous. Hospitals make me nauseous. The world offers us opportunities to numb and escape the pain. And I just want to let you know that you can't run fast enough to escape the pain. And there's not enough numbing solutions in the world to numb the pain. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with it. If you had a terminal illness today, and I said, you know what you need? You need a cast. You wouldn't take me up on the offer. You'd go, it's terminal, bro. I got a friend of mine. He's my age. He got diagnosed with prostate cancer this week. Surgery 4 days later. Like, that quick. That's pretty quick, right? my age, 40 years old. What, normal day? 3 days later. Wouldn't that be silly if I was like, hey, you need to put a cast on your arm. That's going to fix it. Numbing pain. The world offers opportunities to numb and escaping. The kingdom offers you and offers us people and a place to mourn. Because what I have found is that mourning works better in community. I think Job illustrates that the best. Job lost everything. I don't care what all you lost, but can you imagine having a whole litter losing everything? All of your assets gone and all your family members gone except for your wife. Everything gone. Kids, son-in-laws, probably he wasn't mad about losing the son-in-laws, the daughters gone, everything gone. Gone. And he had a couple of friends show up, community, kingdom people. And they go, we're going to sit with you. We're going to sit with you. And the whole way, the enemy is going, we can numb this. I can help you numb it. The kingdom offers us people and a place to mourn. And obviously, the greatest partner for your mourning is Jesus, because he made the kingdom. And so I didn't even write that as a point. Hopefully that was understood. If you don't have Jesus, I can't imagine. The Bible says that we don't weep the way the world weeps. We weep differently if you are in the kingdom, and in the kingdom, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only way to get in the kingdom. Like, it's the club where you got to get in, but you get in through the cross. And Jesus carried the weight for you. You don't have to carry the cross. And so in the kingdom offers us, here's what it offers you. So it gives you people, place, all those things. It gives you, I mean, salvation is how to get in the kingdom. Once you get in the kingdom, because all these things is not for, you don't get to cherry pick all these things. You get all of them. You get all of them. You can't be like, you know, I don't like that one. It's like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. You can't be like, I want love, but I don't want joy. I want patience, but I don't want self-control. My kids, we counsel our kids with the fruit of the, you can counsel your kids. We do this with our kids. Almost all the counseling you can do with your kids, you can do it through the Spirit. You just ask them, is that, and they're losing their freaking mind. You're like, is that love or joy or peace or patience or kindness or goodness? And they're like, it's neither. Okay. I want these shoes right now. That might have been real yesterday. Not with the upper two. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say which one it is because they get mad at me. I got to pay them. It's ridiculous. But they're like, I wonder, that's self-control. Your lack of self-control is what we're going to talk about right now. I'm just really mad. Well, let's see here. You have a house. You got a car to sleep in. You got a scooter. Come on. And a bike. You ate. All those are gifts that you've been given by God. Really, they're on loan because he gave them to me. The kingdom offers us a people and a place to mourn. And then once you get good at it, or once you accept it, like, hey, I'm going to mourn. Here's what all those are like byproducts of the scripture. The scripture says the kingdom offers us comfort. Those who mourn, they're going to be comforted. If you're mourning, the Bible says that you're in the kingdom, you're going to be comforted. I promise you, you're going to be comforted. I don't care what you're going through. The comfort might not be on this earth. It may be when you get to heaven, but the Bible says you will be comforted. And that wasn't enough for me. I'm like, come on, God, that's all you got. And then I ran into Psalms 30, chapter 11. The Bible says, you've turned my mourning into dancing. He wants to turn your mourning into, he's going to give you comfort, it says, and he can turn it into dancing. Now, I don't know about you. I can't imagine dancing after some of the weeks that we have. But the Bible says that we're guaranteed dancing. You're gonna dance. I just want to tell someone today, you're gonna have comfort. You're gonna dance again. There's gonna be joy. It's coming. I don't know when it's gonna come. That's a whole nother. That's beyond my pay grade because that's God. I can't guarantee it's gonna be over, or I can guarantee it's gonna be over. I just can't guarantee when the win is gonna happen. And if I could do that, that's why most people come to me. I'm in the business of convincing people that the mercy is going to come and that the joy is going to come and the dance is going to come. I'm going to walk with you into what comes. I can do that. when I left her house, you good? I'm good. Thank you so much. Hug, kiss, la, la, la. Guys, see you, bye. Tostones, I'm out of here. You know, like, mic drop. Thank you guys for letting me use you to mourn. Gonna get back in my car, just conveniently drive home for 45 minutes. And I could dance again. But my option is to do what the world does. And I just don't think that's God's plan for us, is what the world does. The kingdom, we do it differently. I want to invite you to stand to your feet all across the way. If you're not in the kingdom, it's because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to be in the kingdom today, heads bowed, eyes closed all across me. If you'd like to be in the kingdom today, it starts by asking Jesus to be your Savior. That's how you get into the kingdom. You got to do nothing to get into Hope Church except for to show up. But to get into the kingdom of God, you have to have a relationship with Jesus. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, you need one. And once you have one, you get the kingdom and you get all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. All those things, that list, you get all those things in the kingdom. There's so many things you get in the kingdom. You get heaven, awesome, but you get so much in the kingdom. We don't have enough time to explain all the things that you get inside the kingdom. So if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ right where you're at, would you just say, dear Jesus, I need to be saved. Please save me from my sin. I'm asking you to come into my life and to save me. I would like to be your son or your daughter, however it fits. I want to be your child. I want to be a child of God. I want to mourn with you. I want to be in the kingdom, God. I'm tired of, maybe you need to tell God, I'm tired of being religious. Things haven't changed with my religion. Religion won't save you. Maybe you need to tell God right where you're at, God, I'm tired of trying to be a good person. Because being a good person doesn't get you in the kingdom. Being in religion doesn't get you in the kingdom. Coming to church doesn't get you in the kingdom. The only thing that gets you in the kingdom is a relationship with Jesus. And so either you have one or you don't. If you have one, all these things will be added unto you. So just tell him, be honest with him today. If he saved you today, if you prayed that prayer to ask him to come into your life and to save you of all your sins, if you prayed that prayer today, the Bible says that today is the day of your salvation. You're saved today, just like that. You can mark down today's date. You're now a child of God. I want to ask you to do one more thing to be so bold right now. I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I'm going to have you shoot your hand up. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I count so it gives you some encouragement. And I ask you to raise your hand because I want to be able to pray for you. That's it. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you invite Jesus to be your life. You're now in the kingdom. You know now you're in the kingdom. Today's day of your salvation. I'm going to count to three. When I get there, I'm going to have you shoot your hand up real quick. Ready? One. Two, three, boom, shoot your hand real quick. Say, Pastor West, I prayed that prayer with you today. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Anybody across the way say, Pastor West, I prayed that with you. Thank you so much. I'm so happy for you, proud of you. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. Come on, praise God. Awesome. All across the way. Come on, can we just praise God today? The Bible says that today is the day of your salvation. I want to invite our prayer team to come forward. Now, this could be a really delicate moment for just a moment. Just one moment. Give me 30 seconds. Here's what I noticed. I was with a friend of mine last night in real time. And they were sharing their burdens with me. And instantaneously, there was a healing that took place. Instantaneously, just by sharing it, there was a healing that took place. And that isn't like weird church stuff. The Bible says, if you share your burdens and you confess, if we confess our sins to God so we can be saved, we confess our sins to our brothers so that we can be healed. And it may be that tonight, this morning, you need someone just to lay hands on you and just to pray over you. Hey, I've been mourning, good or bad, right or wrong, I don't know. But would you just pray for me? Maybe you want to share the thing the pain that was caused, the trauma. Maybe you want to share. Maybe you don't. But there's people to my left and to your right that would love to pray for you. Love to pray over you. So if you're here today, you're like, man, I would love to have someone pray for me. The team is here today. Maybe if you pray and ask Jesus to save you today, you would like to let someone know. We'd love to celebrate that with you. All across the way, I want to invite you to respond the way that God's calling you to respond today as the team begins to sing over us. Lord, we love you. I pray that you would help us to know that we're in the kingdom. Lord, for everyone here today that's struggling with where they're at and trying to figure out why they're coping and how they're coping, all these things, God, the struggle, the hurt, the habit, the hang up, whatever it is, God, I pray that they know they can mourn in a healthy kind of way. I thank you for the one that we saw, God, and the hands that went up for salvation today. God, you see the hearts, and you know those that are now in the kingdom. May they know today that they can have comfort. They can have comfort.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.